Greetings, growers of the world. Jordan River back at you with more Growcast. Today we have Rizo Rich on the line. Me and him get together for a quick little chat about 2020. What's changed in our gardens? What's changed in our product lineup? It's a nice little episode. I know you're going to love it. By the way, we drew winners for the rating and review contests. Congratulations. Check those emails. Check those Instagram handles. Wayne D won a Terp Fiend pack, the Underground by Terp Fiend. And you guys showed up so much that we added some more prizes. So New Grow won a pack of Heart and Soils. Check those messages, guys. And Canna Colin won something special from Growcast. A little surprise going to Canna Colin. Wayne D with the Terp Fiend, New Grow with the Heart and Soil pack, and Canna Colin with a Growcast surprise. Congratulations, guys. I said I wasn't going to be doing as many giveaways, and I started right away. We're going a little giveaway crazy in membership, and we'll probably go crazy outside of membership too. So stay tuned. Appreciate all of you. Love helping you guys out in your garden. Before we jump into today's episode with Rich, though, got to shout out Delta Leaf Labs, the best option for sex testing. Stop bothering sexing your plants. Go to deltaleaflabs.com. Use code GROWCAST for free shipping on your tests. No more guesswork. Just go ahead and sex them when they're super, super young, when they're little seedlings. Get that test back. Cull it. No need to waste space, waste fertilizer, waste soil on all these plants that you're just going to cull. Stop second guessing. DeltaLeafLabs.com. Use code GROWCAST for free shipping on your tests. It is wonderful, folks. I use them every time. You can see the results up on Instagram, Delta Leaf Labs. All right, let's get into it with Rich. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Enjoy the program. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GROWCAST. I'm your host, Jordan River. Thank you for tuning in again today. Before we get started, please tell a grower about GrowCast. Spread the show. It's how we grow. Make sure you subscribe so you catch every episode and give us a good rating and review. By the way, the rating and the review contests have ended, and the winners will be in the pre-roll that you just heard. That's right. And also check your DMs, of course. So we're giving away three prizes to three winners. Thank you for supporting us, everybody. I do appreciate it. Today, we are talking about the year that was 2020, not the year itself. We're not wallowing in misery. We're talking about the grow year that was 2020. Styles that have changed in our gardens, products we've added, mind state shifts. And there's no better guest to do this episode with than Rizo Rich. What's up, Rich?
What's up, Jordan? How's it going, man?
Going very well. Moving forward. Fantastic stuff going on here in 2021. But today we're doing a little recap, a little bit late, but that's all right. You know how we do. It was just an interesting thought I had. 2020 was a big year for cannabis. I mean, a lot of states literally came online in the middle of the craziness in COVID. And it just seems that cannabis is pushing more and more forward. Home growing is pushing more and more forward. And us who are already growing, there's a lot of changes that are happening in the industry. New technologies, new products, new revelations as far as growing. So I want to go over today what's changed in our gardens in 2020. One thing I was talking to you about, Rich, this is something that hasn't changed in your garden, but you've completely sold me on and a lot of listeners, is that, and this is no surprise to, you know, cocoa growers and people like that, but this general idea of high frequency, low volume fertigation, I think it's really, really useful and powerful and underrated in a soil setup, because when you do it right, like I said, when you do it right, it really is like an optimal soil moisture level, and it just seems to really get that extra level of yield and quality. But yeah, you were ahead of the curve on that one, man, and you definitely sold me on it.
Yeah, it's not, you know, necessarily for everybody, especially soil. You know, it's very funny. I saw a post the other day on Instagram, a company had put up about high fertigation and doing it and what media, and there must have been hundreds of comments of people saying, you know, don't do it in soil, you shouldn't water daily in soil, blah 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 blah. And you know, that is true, best practices to a certain point, but like you said, once you get it dialed in and you do the high fertigation technique correctly in soil, you can get some really high performance growth and you know, just all around, you know, the end product turns out a little bit better, I've noticed, because you are doing something every single day with the plant and giving it something, you know, whether it's microbials or compost tea or even just calcium or water, or, you know, whatever you're doing. So, you know, I do water every day in my soil, and it's usually a very small amount. And then once a week, I do a heavier watering, and I'm getting fantastic results. And I have a couple of my clients for consulting that are doing it and getting great results and loving it too. So, you know, like we said, if you can get it done correctly, it's a very, very useful technique in the garden, I've found.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you have to balance the frequency with the volume, right? That's
yes.
anyone who says that watering every day itself is a bad practice, well, then how would something like the, you know, automated watering systems work? How would a blue mat work if that was the case? It's just about keeping the optimal. I think what they're saying is if you water every day, you're probably going to end up drowning the roots, which is a real concern.
Yeah.
But again, you balance frequency with volume. And again, understanding your environment, if your plants are very, very thirsty, if the room is dry, it'll dry much, much quicker. But yeah, man, I'm absolutely sold on that. And I'm actually going to do a little survey in the Slack chat, in the Growcast Growers chat. You guys got to check this out. If you haven't checked out the Growers chat, you can find a link to it at growcastpodcast.com/action or in our IG. Bunch of growers in there. We're all helping each other. No one's putting each other down. It's a fantastic community. So I was going to post in there and say, how do you water? By volume, automated watering system, counting one banana, two banana, three banana type thing. And we'll see what that result comes out like. So, but anyways, yeah, high fertigation, definitely something that's on my radar. And yeah, I'm really focusing on a lower volume, higher fertigation and loving it, man. Rich, one thing that, you may have come around on this year was defoliating. You're muted, by the way. You want to unmute, but defoliating, that's something that I know that you usually aren't a fan of, but you saw someone do very, very well with defoliating. Have you come around on that at all? What are your thoughts? Just give me your thoughts on defoliating.
Yeah. So I wouldn't ever say I was against it per se, but I was more of a person who would try not to take off as many leaves as I could. And I would more so tuck leaves, you know, tie them back or twist them around so they weren't in the way. I wouldn't necessarily strip them off. I would clean up the bottoms of the plants, shave the legs, like we've talked about per se, you know, clean up the, you know, first bottom half from the soil up from the plant or third.
The old
or
nodes mostly.
Third. Yeah.
Would you just clear it out completely? Because I leave some fan leaves down there usually.
Yeah, I clear it out pretty completely and then leave, you know, the upper portion that's going to be in the scrog. You know, I leave the leaves and the nodes and the new growth up there. But, you know, like I said, I never really did a whole lot of defoliation. I would clean up the bottoms. I would strip leaves here and there, big fan leaves that needed it. But overall, I would try to tuck everything. Throughout 2020, I would say I played a lot more with defoliating. Our buddy that me and you know took 12 different phenos of mine that were keepers and ran them and completely did a complete strip on them where you take basically every leaf off except for that new growth is. And I was talking to him again and he said that he actually takes off every node from the bottom up except for the top ones that he's going to use. So pretty much everything comes off these plants.
Jeez.
And they did stellar. It was his first grow and he was hitting, you know, 1 pound a plant. So he did really, really, really good for, you know, his first time. And with me being able to see with my own eyes, these same plants that I run be completely stripped down and perform fantastically, it was kind of eye-opening for me. You know, it's a lot easier to take something in when you can see it in person and see it done for yourself, especially, you know, like I said, when it's on plants that I've been running for a while myself. So
exactly.
I kind of know them and know what's going on. And when they all performed good, it wasn't even like one of them didn't, you know, there wasn't one that was like, well, it didn't really do great with the defoliation. I mean, they all did fantastic. So,
wow.
And he is, you know, using cocoa and synthetics and stuff. So I'm sure that definitely, you know, comes into account because he's feeding so much and, you know, it might be a little bit harder to get away with organics. Like me and you were talking about doing that full stripping. I don't know. I haven't done a full stripping on an organic plant yet. You know, I've stripped pretty heavily in the last year, but I haven't done a full stripping on an organic plant. So I'm very curious to try it and see what happens.
Well, it's interesting because like you said, it challenges your thinking. Because my first thought is, you know, we've heard like the great Dr. Coco talk about leave the leaves. The general thinking is, why would you take away all those solar panels?
Yeah, that's how I was. I didn't know what to expect when he told me he was doing it. And then I saw the after results after he, you know, heavily defoliated. I was like, oh boy, we're going to see where this goes. But yeah, I mean, it turned out phenomenal. Like, there wasn't anything to complain about, you know.
I got to dig into why.
Really made me want to try it on an organic plant and see how well it took to it, you know.
I don't think it's going to do as well. I think that, first of all, I want to dig into more.
I think it's going to not do as well either, but we'll see. I mean, I've done some pretty heavy stripping, not as heavy as what he's doing, but, you know, I've done some and they seem to do well. I'll be curious to see what a full-on one will do.
That's a worthy experiment, because, like I said, I want to dig into why it still can collect so much light if you take away all the fan leaves. I want to dig into that, first of all. But then second of all, I imagine that salt nutrient uptake might replace the need to eat away. It's just so
available. All that nutrition that's moving around from leaves and, you know, throughout the plant, you kind of don't need that when you're throwing it all in there like that, you know, when you're using a bunch of salts and putting them in daily. So I'm wondering if it's just something they're able to get away with a little bit easier than doing it in organics, per se. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I wonder if taking away a modality does something. Like, if you remove the fan leaves so that they can't consume that, their only method is to uptake from the soil. And if it is so rich and so available because it's synthetically formulated, I don't know, maybe there's something there. Whereas I do notice in organic grows, like, the leaves are constantly getting consumed in organic.
Oh, yeah.
It's like there's always a deficiency beginning to show. You got to add this, you got to add that. That's the whole fun of the game. But yeah, I wonder. And then I also wonder if you take a look at something like the FOOP. There's a very available organic.
Yeah, will that be a good replacement?
How would that do in defoliating? Exactly. So this is something that we're just going to kind of keep an eye on and explore more into. And again, I've always been in the kind of leave the leaves camp. And now it's just, I don't know, you see these things, you see these people doing well, doing something that you're not doing, and it makes you think. And it should make you think. That means you're an open-minded grower. Doesn't mean you have to change everything in your garden every time you see someone doing something new. You know what I mean? No. Go after every shiny object. But it should expand your horizons and expand your thinking a little bit, you know?
Well, definitely, especially if you can up the yield, you know, 2 to 3 to 4 times the amount of what you should be getting or what you're usually getting.
If there's a big upside.
That is something big to, you know, look at. And, you know, it's not like, you know, I noticed when he does the heavy defoliation that, yeah, he removes all the leaves, but those leaves are only gone for anywhere from like 3 to 7 days. And then new leaves are, you know, pushed out at that new growth and the plant has leaves again. So it's not like these leaves are completely gone forever. There's, you know, more leaves that are going to pop out on the buds and, you know, pop out at the new growth. So I think it's more so of just being able to push them along for the time where they don't really have much leaf action going on them, you know. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, you can see the plants immediately after the heavy defoliation and they look really, really stripped down, and then a week later they look like pretty regular plants again,
right?
So it's not like these leaves are completely gone forever. So it's definitely a very interesting technique. I've always, you know, known about it, heard about it, but never have really taken it to heart and done it myself. So like I said, once I was able to see it in person, it was very eye-opening and made me want to experiment with it a little bit more.
I'll dig into more, you know, the differences in synthetic versus organic. Maybe we'll do a couple experiments. It's interesting. We'll see. And again, if it's working in your garden, man, try other stuff. But if it's working for you, then you do what you do, man. I absolutely love it. On the same note as this whole pushing back against conventional wisdom, and on the note of something that's changing in my mind, bud washing. Oh my God. Some people swear by this. It's come up on the show before. Washing your buds after harvest. We've talked about it. We've talked about where we think it would be useful. You know, if you're, for instance, in a medical, very sterile, you need it to be very sterile. Or for instance, if you're an outdoor grower and there's a lot of dust out there or a smoky season, there's a reason to bud wash for sure. But I've always had, again, this conventional dogma, this conventional wisdom, I would never take my finished product and submerge it in liquid for any reason if I didn't have to. I couldn't see, again, unless there was like circumstances, a reason as to why, I couldn't see why I would ever do that, because in my mind, it's not good for the trichomes. I can't imagine it would be good for them. Man, I'm starting to think, here's what's changed my kind of thinking. I saw someone do the bud wash with Dr. Zymes instead of the like lemon or baking soda or hydrogen peroxide. They used Dr. Zymes, right? And they posted a picture of a very, very sparkly bud. And it was like, oh, Dr. Zymes making those trichomes shine. I was like, damn, that's very, very interesting. And then this run, I had to spray the Terp Drip pretty late in flower with some Dr. Zymes, a moderately heavy formulation of Dr. Zymes. And the Terp Drip is covered. Shout out to Terp Fiend. The Terp Drip is covered in frost. And I sprayed it with the Dr. Zymes. Dude, it didn't affect the trichomes at all. It kind of did make them shine. The next day, right. I went back and I was like, holy crap, the plant is not stressed at all. And I've used Zymes in flower before, just never really that late at that concentration, I guess I would say. And I was shocked. I was like, damn, it kind of did make them sparkle. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on bud washing? And I'm kind of coming around, if not on like all the lemon juice and stuff like that, this Zymes, man. I don't think this stuff fucks with your trichomes at all, as far as I'm concerned. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, personally, it's not for me. I'm not somebody who's going to do it, but I see where it's useful. And like you were saying, with situations, maybe there was a fire around or, you know, something on the flowers that's not really desirable that you want to smoke. Me and you were talking before. I know a very experienced grower in California, and she washes her buds every run, I believe, and swears by it. So there's definitely something there. People that do it love it and seem to continue to do it. So
exactly, you know. And people who don't get mad too, dude.
yeah. There's a lot of people who don't will get upset about it. And like I said, it's not for me, but you know, I see why it's there. People do it, and they do get good results with it. You know, so.
I don't know, man. If I'm tempted to see if there's no downside, I might just take one branch and wash it in Zymes under their correct.
The Zymes instead of the lemon and the peroxide or whatever. That's an interesting one.
It makes a lot of sense to me. Residue free, yeah, you know what I mean? So, and I would probably hit up
Enzyme
MBS.
For sure.
Yeah, I'd probably hit up MBS and get the proper ratio and just take one of my branches and try it. I don't know, man. Man, my indoor
trying one branch is kind of cool, man. You could definitely do that and see what's up. You never know, man. Do a little split test and give it to somebody too, and you know, have them try one that's washed and one that's not. See what they think. Don't tell them what one's what.
Man, that's exactly the type of shit that I'm looking to get into this year. I was just talking to the members and taking polls about like, should I do, you know, trying different grow styles to compare them? Should I do more experiment type stuff, which is what you just described? That's what's up, man. That's a great idea, and I'm definitely going to do that. I think I'm going to have Jay Smooth come over, and he's going to try to see if he can identify the washed bud. That's a good idea, man.
Yeah,
I absolutely,
man,
love that. Yeah, because again, if
it's fine too, you know.
Yeah, totally. And if it doesn't, it would be great to get them tested. I'm trying to get my hands on this home testing kit. It would be great to get them tested side by side too. So, anyways,
yeah,
really,
there's some
really
nice
interesting
ones
stuff
out now.
Oh yeah, we're trying to partner with one now that's kind of affordable in a sense. You know, they're very expensive, but it's actually accurate, man. The cheap ones.
Is that one that's
to,
a couple hundred dollars I sent you a while
no,
back? That one's
it's
really good.
Oh yeah, that one did look good.
It might be up to like $1,000 or something, but it's
that
it's
could
not
be the same
like
model.
There's one I saw that was like $3,000 to $5,000 that was pretty cool, but it doesn't really seem like something the average home grower would do. Whereas this one was like $600, I think, and it tested edibles, flower, concentrate. It's a really cool little kit, man.
That's key. If I'm going to be doing more content around experimentation, I want to have the anecdotal side and then any sort of real data that I can, you know, as real as you can do in your basement, any sort of real data I can get would be very, very cool.
I love
so
it, man.
We'll see. We'll see what it holds, what the future holds, what it holds. I'm
I'd
high.
Like to see the washed flower tested and then, you know, the same exact flower not wash tested as well and see if the, you know, terpenes have changed or, you know, if anything's changed, percentages of cannabinoids or whatnot. That's the one thing I've seen the pushback on washing was, you know, maybe the cannabinoids aren't necessarily water soluble, but the terpenes can be. So there's possible terpene loss. But once again, I haven't done it myself, so I'm not 100% about this. This is just
this is going
back an argument that I've seen.
Sure. No, absolutely. That's the almost conventional wisdom. Why would you harm those trichomes? You worked so hard to get this far. But in reality, let's give it a try. Let's do it on
GrowCast
Live.
One branch,
live.
It wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, totally. Let's do it live on Growcast TV, and we'll see if a completely unbiased, blindfolded person can tell a difference. That would be cool. And then, like you said, maybe we can get some testing next time when I get this machine.
Yeah, man, that'd be awesome.
Anyways, really, really excited about what's going on here, and just everything in 2021 is going to be big, man. Going to be big. Before we return to Rizo Rich, gotta give love to FGI, Forever Green Indoors Lighting. Find them on Instagram. Find them at forevergreenindoors.com. Use code GROWCAST for a whopping 10% off your lights. They have their Uniformity Pro series, which is a great bar style option. Fantastic bar style lights. And then they have the new light panel. This V2 light panel looks incredible. Not to mention lots of other options like their square that I have. It's a perfect 3x3 fixture. Very affordable, that square, if you're after a budget option. But like I said, I'm really fascinated by this FGI light panel 500. The V2 is insane. 30% more output than their V1. Uses 10% less energy at just 444 watts. It is a powerful ass fixture. Check it out at forevergreenindoors.com and use code GROWCAST to save on those lights, everybody. All right, everybody, let's get back to Rich. This is funny, Rich, because we've talked about this a lot. VPD. You know, VPD stormed the scene. Everybody started talking about it. Everybody's super, super concerned with it. We were saying, listen, VPD should be one of the last things you dial in. And it's true. You should dial in your temperature first and work from there, yada, yada, yada. You know, VPD is one of those refined things. I ran into some VPD problems this in 2020 when the temperature dropped. Holy crap. Dude, it smashed my plants. The leaves started turning gray and twisting. It got too hot and dry. And I was luckily in veg at that point. But I was like, oh my God. Like, VPD definitely is something that you can that you should refine at the end to make
sure you need to pay attention to it at the very least.
But
you know?
Exactly. But if it gets far enough off, it can really fuck your plants up.
And
I guess it also like wilts your plants and stuff in the opposite direction. If it gets too cold and wet, it does all sorts of different stuff to your plants and makes them go funky and not uptake, yada yada. But I saw the actual leaves getting destroyed from the VP, as far as I could tell, from the VPD being off. They were curling and graying like I'd really never seen before. It was very, very strange. So my comments were kind of coming to kick me in the butt, the importance of VPD again. But you know how it goes with your mind state, how these things are more prominent and less prominent. But right now I'm thinking a lot about VPD, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, something I played around with for a while, and I chased the numbers, quote unquote, and I found that to be kind of a pain in the ass in my setup. And then I kind of stopped chasing them and, you know, still paid attention to what's going on, but I wasn't chasing that perfect VPD number, and I was still, you know, crushing runs. So that's why I say it's maybe not something you need to focus so hard on. You do need to pay attention to it, but you don't necessarily need to, you know, go crazy with getting that perfect number.
That's
down,
so true.
You know, if you're able to and your environment and setup allows it, then fantastic. Do that if you're able to. But if you have a hard time because your environment, you know, you're growing in an outbuilding or for whatever reason, it's just really hard to get that environment or that number in a perfect range, I wouldn't, you know, beat yourself up trying to get into that number. As long as, you know, you have a decent environment, temp, humidity, and that VPD is in a decent range, you can pull it off and you'll be all right. I wouldn't chase those numbers and, you know, go crazy over it is kind of what I think. But
yeah, you don't want to drive yourself crazy over it. That's exactly right. But do you experience a big shift in the change in seasons here growing in the Midwest? Maybe that's one of the reasons why Humboldt is so suited, is because it is so temperate and the humidity is relatively stable. That makes a lot of sense that you just really can have an environment. But I found I had to change up my environment drastically here in the Midwest, going from the humid summer and even in the humid fall into the cold, dry winter. My tent was still
dry
hot.
As shit too.
But dry as shit. I mean, it is super, super dry. So are you always aware of that every year and you throw out an extra humidifier, or do you just have one that runs on RH percentage? Like, do you notice a change in the seasons?
Yeah, I mean, every season up here is different. Certain seasons are better than others. Like summer, you know, I'm always having to run the AC and D-hum, and they're always on all the time. Dead winter, heaters are always going because it's so cold. It's just a constant battle. But there's like that perfect time in the spring and then the fall where I usually don't have to run the AC or the heat, and just the lights are perfect. And I can get a, you know, 1 to 2 runs in that are, you know, me not fighting the environment and going back and forth. But yeah, it's almost 4 seasons exactly that we're having to change stuff around. So
yeah, that's funny how that works.
It'd be a pain in the ass, man.
That's too funny, man. Midwest growing. But I do like utilizing the cold air when I need to.
Oh yeah. It can be very useful too at the same time.
True. Very true. Yeah, man. Really, really good exploration. I love that we as gardeners got to still garden throughout 2020 with all the craziness. You could still find solace in the garden. Like that's
definitely
where I think a lot of people use it as, I don't even want to say as an escape, more of a therapy.
Absolutely, man.
So yeah, it was a big year, man. And thank you. By the way, we put this list of points together. We put it together, me and Rich. Were there any other points that were on your mind that I missed here?
No, man. I think that really, really touched on a lot of good points that we were talking about beforehand, you know?
The style is always evolving, right? I mean,
even it always is, man. Yeah. You got to be open-minded and not be completely stuck in your own way. I mean, it's great to have a sure thing and have your dialed in regimen. I have mine, and there's always a part of my room where I do that. So I know that, you know, I mean, there's never any guarantees in farming, as we say, but you know, I know that for the most part, that's going to be my sure thing. But for, you know, the other parts of the room are all experiment because I'm able to, you know, morph that sure thing regimen sometimes and either up my quality or my quantity or, you know, whatnot from these experiments. So you have to be very open-minded for sure. There's all sorts of new products and technologies and techniques coming out in this industry and with growing. So
yeah, that's right, man. I mean, that's right. There's two sides of the coin. There's the techniques and our science and understanding of the plant and evolving as a gardener. And then there's all the advances from, let's be honest, big business, America, you know, big business and small business. But you know what I'm talking about? Like that's,
oh yeah,
there's so much. I mean, think about it. Think about all the stuff that we're using now that we weren't using in 2019. Jack's Bug Be Gone is my favorite. Is my go-to.
That's great, man.
Dude, it's the best. I didn't even know about this stuff, and it didn't exist. It didn't exist a couple years ago, and I didn't know about it until 2020. That's brand new in the garden. Before that, I didn't have Zymes until I discovered Zymes. What's another good example of 2020? Rain Science. I only use Rain Science grow bags now. Rain Science grow bags are the best, and that's 2020 is when I was introduced to them and when I got to, you know, partner with them and bring them to so many growers. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy, man, that all this stuff.
It really is. There's a lot of. Yeah. A lot of good stuff out, even like Dynamica, man. I don't use like a granular myco anymore because I have a couple other products that already have it in it. But when they sent us a bag and I tried it, I was amazed by it. So it's definitely something I use now, and it's good stuff, man. I see results with it. I don't know if it's just because it's that strain that they're using over there and Israel or
in Israel, right?
The salt flats, they were saying they use it from or something like that. So maybe it's just a little bit more aggressive and it seems to take better and
so
quicker,
dope.
But I see really good results with that stuff.
Yeah, good call shouting them out. There's been a lot, man. And I try to partner with the best to try to bring savings to the growers again. That's my mission. So, you know, educate growers, help you grow better cannabis, save a couple bucks. That's it. Laser focused on that in 2020. In 2021.
Bye. Right. The LED light technology, man, that shit seems like just in 2020 alone, just watching the evolution of that was pretty cool, you know.
I'm glad you brought that up. That was
quantum boards. Bar styles getting big, and you know, quantum boards back again. And,
I was just going to bring that up.
Cool stuff.
You're exactly right, and I'm excited to see if there's another massive leap because, like, it went from like Blurple to the like weird cobs and stuff. I would say the biggest leap that kind of happened in 2019, 2020 was the quantum board leap.
Definitely.
Now, bar style is simply a quantum board that's been gapped, is my understanding. It's the
same. Yeah, basically smaller boards, just spaced out more. So you know, you can kind of get more. They're easier to ship and shit too, because they can be taken apart and put into a smaller box versus a giant. You know, I got an LED this year from Next Light, and it's a great light, but the thing's like 4 feet by 4 feet. It's huge, dude. It's very hard to move around and work with. It's a great light, but you know, I see my buddy's bar style lights, and, you know, the bars clip off and clip on, so you can, you know, put them together super easy and put them up. They're just a little bit more workable, I guess you could say. And I think they spread light a little bit more evenly too. So
that's a good point, man. Sometimes you feel like you're hanging a UFO. It's another reason, again, we partnered with AC Infinity, probably in early 2020, but it's another reason I like the lighter. Yeah. Like, you know, if I'm not having shoulder problems, I'm a strong guy, you know, I can get stuff up at the top of my tent, but it's just bulky and it's a pain in the ass. When you got something light that you can put up, it's so much easier, so much less
one-handed.
Yeah, totally. You're not going to fall over and crush a plant. So, you know, I'm glad you did bring that up, though, because I'm wondering on the light front.
What's going to happen?
What's going to happen? Is there going to be a whole new alien technology that we can't even imagine? You know what I mean?
I was looking in our Slack chat, and I know I sent you a picture, and I sent a couple other people a picture that I screenshotted in the Slack chat of that member who is using a light. I'm going to have to look it up right now while we're on, but it's this LED light. It seems to have a tunable spectrum, I believe they were saying. But not only that, the light is in, like, the bar is in three pieces, so it folds down. It's like a foldable.
The Fosse? Or whatever it's called?
What is the name of this thing? I have F-O-H-S-E? It screenshotted. It is... I got to find it.
I think I know who you're talking about. But dude, there's some high-end ones coming out, ones that have motorized.
Yeah, bars. This thing kind of looks silly at first, and I thought it was goofy, but you can fold it down on the side, so you have it sitting straight in the middle like a regular bar would, but then like the outer edges of the bars fold. So you can kind of make like a house, you know, like a roof kind of deal with it, and get little bit better light penetration with it. I don't know. It was just a really interesting light. I looked them up, and they seem to run like, oh my God, they were very expensive. I want to say like $3,500, $5,500 or something. But I'm wondering if we're going to be moving into, you know, lights like that for more penetration and whatnot. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, man, there are lots of innovations coming, and I don't even know. Sunritech? No, I'm digging back in the Slack chat.
I have my thing pulled up. I know I'm gonna find it. It's called Grogenics Shape Light Pro 630 V as in Victor S.
Huh.
And they have he says they have a tunable light spectrum, programmable, and the blades or the bars fold to give a wraparound effect. Light goes deep into the canopy. It looks like a damn UFO. Very cool. It looks like his is four bars. So it would look like a regular LED bar with four of them. And then it's almost like each bar on the very ends of it has another bar. So it's like three bars for one bar. And the sidebars you can fold down and make like a frame out of it, like a roofing frame, you know, not quite an A-frame because it's not pointed, but, you know, people can look the light up.
No,
it's very, very interesting light.
It makes me think because Dr. Coco talked about how photons, if you angle them too far, but I think you have to angle them pretty far, it'll skip off the top of the leaf. So interesting either way. Definitely want to check these guys out. And again, just like another example of innovation and rapid change in.
Yeah. What way are they going? You know, that's the that's what I want to know, is where are these lights going? Because there's, you know, a lot that can be done, and it just seems like they keep getting better and better and better. So,
yeah, man, big year, a lot of changes and a lot of progression. It was a tough year, obviously. We definitely had some setbacks, but Growcast is going to keep moving forward. The community is going to keep moving forward. Membership is going to keep moving forward. And our team is just, we've got this tight-knit little team now, and I want to thank all of you listeners. Just for listening.
Definitely.
You guys are amazing, especially you members joining the community, being so active. Rich, thank you, man, for all you're doing with SeedCo.
Well, thank
Stay
you.
Tuned for more updates on that, everybody, for all you're doing for members and just helping people out, man. We really appreciate you, Rich.
I appreciate everybody else too. It's always a pleasure.
Did that cover it? What else do we have? Let me take a look at my points here. Yeah, that's about it, man. That about wraps it up. Just really quick here. Let's just take a couple minutes. Top strain that you grew in 2020, man, that slurricane you gave me was out of this fucking world.
Yeah, there was a few of them, man. The Slurricane was one I didn't expect. I knew it was going to be good. I've been wanting my buddy to give me that cut for a while, and he finally did. And the flavor on it, it like you said, it's out of this world. It's a very good keeper. It yields. Our buddy got that, you know, 1 pound per plant on his first run with it, which is incredible. Yeah, I mean, it's a big yielder. It tastes, it's very complex, like you said, but it's got like a candy taste to it, but a gas taste at the same time. It's very different. Very different.
Multi-dimensional. So, did I hit it? Is that your,
would
that
yeah. be
your time? Wow.
No. Slurricane is definitely up there in my top. That one, the Key Lime Pie, both of the phenos I have from Purple Caper, he made it in a seed form.
So keefy.
They really shocked me on how trichome covered they are. They're just incredible. Probably some of the most covered plants that I've ever grown. One has a very, they have very similar looks, but one has like a very bubblegum smell, and the other one, I don't really know how to describe it. It's like hashy and kind of gassy. When you have a big container of it and you open it, it almost, it's going to sound gross, but it almost smells like rotting meat and gas. It's really weird.
No, that carrion, the carrion smell.
It's very, very, yes, exactly. It's a very, very good one though. The Key Lime Pie, the Slurricane, the 10th planets are always good. I enjoy those, but yeah, those two, the Key Lime Pie and Slurricane, were definitely up there with
more
some
caper.
Of my favorites this
That's
year.
Great. That's great, dude. Your selections are just dope, man. The Key Lime Pie is like a literally like someone poured pixie dust in the bottom of the bag when it was empty. There's just this huge pile of trichomes
trikes. And it doesn't look like it yields much because the buds are like cookies, and I was kind of like cookie size, and it has a lot of cookie genetics in it, mainly all cookie genetics basically, but it you know, the density of them was pretty incredible. Yeah. So what it lacked in size, it made up for in weight. So it was a very fun strain to grow. And I kept both phenos, and I'm going to be growing them again. So
shout out to Caper.
Gotta
love it. Okay. We know Rich is up against it here, so we're actually going to let him go, and then I'll wrap up the show. Thank you, Rich. I appreciate you, man. And
thank you,
we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, man. Take it easy.
All right. Take care. There you go, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate each and every one of you. We got so much cool stuff going on. Can't even tell you all the plans we have. Patreon.com/growcast for the best membership in cannabis. Now it's the end of the month, so make sure to check out the note about billing. You might want to join on the 1st of February, but you do want to join Growcast TV live every Wednesday night. The Slack chat community, the best, just the best. But again, if you just want to keep listening, that's fine too. I appreciate you. I really do. Best of luck in your garden, everybody. Be safe out there and grow smarter. That's the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's a good one. I appreciate you all staying subscribed, downloading, supporting us. Going to Patreon, of course, patreon.com/growcast. I also want to remind you of the very generous offer that Michael gave us from sustainablevillage.com. They're offering 5% off the Blue Mat watering system. I wanted to throw that in here at the end of the episode in case you missed that episode. You can get a Blue Mat automatic watering system at sustainablevillage.com and use code GROWCAST for 5% off. The only code on the web, I believe. So I wanted to throw that out there. I'm looking forward to getting myself one. Thank you all so much for supporting us, as I said, for staying subscribed. We got new guests. We got old favorite guests. We got everything coming at you here in 2021. Big, big things in the works. So thank you. Best of luck in your gardens, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.